Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Leviticus chapter 17, if you would. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. And we do have notes. I'm not sure they're being passed out just yet, simply because they got them 5 minutes ago. So, Leviticus. While you're turning to Leviticus chapter 17, let me say a big thank you to King Slavic. I really enjoyed being with you last night for a Seder and over at Lucille Street. It was a blessing to be back in our old building and to see how well it's being taken care of by Pastor Vicky and Minister Eric and the Slavic team as well and all those that use it. You know, our Transformations Church, it's a ministry for people struggling with life-controlling problems. They meet there every Tuesday. It's 150, 160 people. It continues to grow. And it's just so powerful there. You know what we're going to do? We're going to put in some new carpet in the sanctuary. Amen. And we need to paint that building, man. I took a look at it. I said, "Oh Jesus, help!" But we were there last night with the King Slavic, and I don't know. Maybe I'm going to say probably 50 people or so there. And we went through the Seder, which is prophetic. How many of you know what a Seder Passover meal is? All right, that's when Jesus took communion. That was a Passover meal. Leviticus 17. So notes will be forthcoming, and I guess when they arrive, you let me know, or just go ahead and deliver them. Leviticus 17, go down to verse 11. I'm going to read from the New King James Version. Are you all there? All right, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Leviticus 17, verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Verse 12. Therefore, I said to the children of Israel, no one among you shall eat blood, nor shall any stranger who dwells among you eat the blood. All right, go to the book of Exodus. Go back. Exodus chapter 23. Verse 20, behold, I send an angel before you. You all there? Angel before you in the way to bring you into the place of which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Do not provoke him, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. And I'm going to stop there. Father, thank you so much for your word. Lamp unto our feet, light upon our path. Move in great power. Come on, lift your voice and ask God to speak to you tonight. Move in great power tonight. This great company of people and all those online as we celebrate the crucifixion and soon resurrection of our Lord. Touch lives, change us, release your truth. May we never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I think the name of the sermon is the blood, Passover parallels, and seven promises. The blood, say it with me, the blood, Passover parallels, and seven promises. I had no idea about the blood when I first came to Christ. I mean, I understood from my life and a conviction deep within my heart that I deserved death. And when you really come to face with sin, you'll realize that every one of us deserve death, and that's quite a thing. And then when you come to the awareness, which is a gift of God's grace, and he opens your eyes and he opens your heart, he illuminates you to realize, man, he died for you. He died for, the sin of the whole world, but that's not how you have to get it in your soul. You have to get it in your spirit and understand that he died for you. You crucified him. It has to become personal. And I remember when that happened for me. Raise your hand if you remember when that happened. And I started realizing, man, I deserve death for the stuff I did. See, some of you still argue. You think you're pretty good. You're not. And you still have arguments. Lord, I'm better than, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the gift of God, say it with me, what? The gift of God is eternal life. And so when I first gave my life to Christ, I remember everything was a cross. Everywhere. I never saw so many crosses on so many necks and necklaces. Everywhere I went, I would driving home, every telephone pole was a cross. There's crosses on doors. I would see shadows making crosses. I'm like, the cross is everywhere. But it took a minute for me to understand about the blood. I'm so appreciative of my beautiful mother. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for her, not just because she's my mother, but because she also birthed me into the kingdom through prayer and intercession. And I remember hearing her pray, I plead the blood. I plead the blood. Everybody say, I plead the blood. Okay, have you ever heard I plead the fifth? Okay, it's a legal term. I plead the blood of Jesus. It's a powerful way to pray, and yet most people don't really know what that means. All right, I think you're getting notes now. So here they come. Raise your hand if you got those already. They're working from the back, which is opposite of what I would do. But it's not necessarily wrong. Come on, just lift your hands to Jesus. There's many ways to skin the cat. Pastor Kirsten taught me that. We've been in a series called The Rescue. And this fits right in that series just wonderfully. Leviticus 17, Exodus 23. Now, we read Leviticus 17, verses 11 through 12. Thank you, gentlemen. You all do a great job. Appreciate you. Exodus 23, we just read a few verses, but we're really going to look through verse 33 for the sake of time. I didn't read that, but I will refer to them. Exodus 23, 20 through 33 follows directly after God's command to honor the Passover feast. And it's not just a Passover, but really all the feasts. And through Exodus 23, 20 to 33, there's seven promises that are benefits. They're benefits or promises that follow those who honor God's appointed times. And in actual fact, I think you can apply that to the other feasts also. Just be careful that you don't become like a Judaizer. And I always get some people irritated at me with this, but the truth is you don't have to obey any of those feasts. And if you think I'm mistaken, go read Acts 15, which we'll look at. Acts 15 says, okay, I'm going to paraphrase Acts 15. Let's not put the Gentiles through unnecessary protocol and stuff. There's just, they don't have to keep the feast, the fest, they don't have to keep the festivals. And they went ahead and listed, don't fornicate. There's three things. What is the third thing? Jesus, help me. We should probably go there right now. We should do it. Let's go ahead. Go there. Go to Acts 15, verse 19. It's later on in the message, but since I'm already talking about it and the eggs are scrambled. Acts 15, verse 19 through 20. Pastor Kirsten, would you read it for us?
It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Instead, we should write to them, telling them to abstain from food polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from the meat of strangled animals, from blood.
Don't eat the blood. It gives the list. So you don't have to do all the festivals as a Gentile. Just, you must obey those four things that it gives right there. And blood is a big deal. Come on, everybody say, no fornicating. Don't eat the blood. It is interesting that there's so much talk of vampires and blood and all kinds of craziness out there more than ever before. All right. But honoring God's appointed times, I also believe that there's something special in that too, that if you don't understand it, you miss a deeper revelation of who we are as Christians. And so we don't have to keep the festival to produce righteousness, but at the same time, they are important, and they're all types and shadows of Christ. Especially the Passover. All right, so before we go into these seven promises and all of that, I want to talk about the blood, understanding the concept of the blood in the scripture, because I did not understand it, and I want you to understand it. Blood is God-given life. Genesis 9 and 4, Noah just survived the flood. There's a rainbow, and the Lord says, in the blood, there's life. Genesis 9, verse 4, but you must not eat meat that has the life blood still in it. And then Acts 15, writing your notes, which we just read. Why would that be? Because in Leviticus 17, verses 11 through 12, it's this understanding that blood has life. And to mistreat that is to literally show contempt for the giver of life. Blood speaks. Blood cries out from the ground. The blood of the martyrs. I mean, it's sacred. Everybody say the blood is sacred. Absolutely right. And we need to understand that. The blood is sacred. Old Testament understanding of the blood, it's always tied to sacrifice. I'm writing the notes now. It's tied to sacrifice. It made atonement. Atonement is an Anglo-Saxon word, which means, if I could just kind of smash it together, at one man. It means to bring one together as one. So what is atonement? If blood is shed for you, and that brings atonement, the atonement, the day of atonement, also called the fast, if that, what does that bring? It brings at one man. It means it removes that which separates you from God. It brings atonement. It brings at one man. It brings you in right relationship with them through repentance, of course. It cleanses and makes holy. It cleanses and makes holy. Leviticus 8 and 15, Moses slaughtered the bull, took some of the blood. You know, I'm going to get into this, and I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. By the time I get to Hebrews, I'm going to be preaching and losing my mind, because this is absolutely amazing what you're about to learn right now. So this is the most unusual Good Friday service I've ever... I just didn't want to do the last seven words of Jesus as powerful as they are. I wanted to teach you about the blood. I want you to get it. I want you to get this. You got to get it. Come on, bump your neighbor and say, you got to get this. It's atonement. It cleanses. It makes holy. Leviticus 8 and 15. Jesus' blood shed. I you'll never see me put on anything that I write spilt. I never put spilled. And I can't stand when preachers say, you spill milk. His blood was not spilled. His blood was shed. He shed his blood. All you preachers, don't ever use the word spilt. You spilled the water. You spilled your milkshake. You spilled the milk. He did not spill his blood. He purposely shed it. And that's a big deal to me. Testamental sacrificial system. This Jesus' blood shed and his life given fulfills the Old Testament sacrificial system and brings eternal redemption for those who believe in him. And here is just so powerful. So does everybody understand that? The last plague of Egypt, They were to take one lamb for every household. They were to slaughter their lamb and put the blood on the doorposts of their home. So when the death angel or the destroyer came, would pass over the home that had the blood on their doors. So every Jew that put blood, every Hebrew that put blood on their doors, whoever was inside that house, the destroying angel, the death angel passed over. If you were a Jew and you didn't have blood on your door, the death angel visited your house, and if you were the firstborn, you would be dead. Every person, Gentile or Jew, that did not have blood on their home, on the doorposts of their home, the lentils of their home, died. And it was the final blow to Egypt, and then they were allowed to leave. They plundered, they took all the gold, and they left. And it's a holiday to remember what God did for them. And it is a type and a shadow. It speaks of the final sacrifice. God's own lamb shed for you. Listen to Hebrews 9, verse 12. He did not enter by the means of blood of goats and calves. I should probably, even though I've done it hundreds of times before, they could not just come into the presence of God in the tabernacle or in the temple. They had a very prescribed way of doing it. The Day of Atonement, the high priest would, in a very specific way, take blood and sprinkle it on the mercy seat and enter in a very prescribed way. And if they did it wrong, he would die. He had to obey the job requirements and follow through on it. And it was all a picture of Jesus. And so he would atone or at one moment for his sin and for the sins of Israel, and they would do it every year. And there's other sacrifices too, but you could not come before the Lord without blood, period. So the Old Testament talks about that. Now the writer of Hebrews, and we say that because we don't know who wrote it. It's in Scripture, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He, talking about Jesus, did not enter by the means of, is he talking about the high priest? The high priest, pardon me, he being the high priest, did not enter by the means of blood, bulls and goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once and for all. No, it isn't Pastor Kirsten. He's talking about Jesus. He entered in by his own blood. He is the high priest. He's the final high priest. Is everybody with me, or are you all confused? Hebrews 9, verse 12, he did not enter by the means of blood of bulls and goats. The high priest did that, but he entered the most holy place, talking of Jesus now, once and for all, thank you, Pastor Kirsten, by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of the heifer sprinkled on those who were ceremonially unclean sanctify them so they were outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself unblemished to God, cleanse our conscience from acts that lead to death so that we may serve a living God? And then Hebrews 10 and 4, because it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. The only thing that can truly take away your sin is the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus. And that's what we're talking about on a Good Friday. Come on, give God praise all across this place. We're forgiven. We're ransomed. Ephesians 1 and 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of his grace. Hebrews 9 and 22. In fact, it says the law requires nearly everything be cleansed by blood, because without the shedding of blood, listen closely, there is no forgiveness of sin. Absolutely. Old Testament, New Testament. Amazing. See, if you don't know this, then the forgiveness that you've received by the blood doesn't have the weight and the importance of it. This is a big deal. It's a very big deal. It's basic Christianity that many people don't know. Is a propitiation, the scriptures call him. A propitiation is an averting of wrath. Wrath was headed towards you. He's the completion of the Passover. The original Passover was prophetic, a shadow of Jesus' ultimate sacrifice. Throw my graphic up if you would. This is fascinating. The Passover parallels. Exodus Passover, a male lamb without blemish. You can see that in Exodus 12. These are instructions for the book in the book of Exodus talking about how the Passover was to be honored and what was to take place. So right here, lamb without blemish. New Testament fulfillment, Jesus is the sinless lamb of God. Can someone say hallelujah? Chosen on the 10th day, the first month, Exodus 12 and 3. Jesus enters Jerusalem, the temple, on the 10th day, Matthew 21. Listen, you can't make this stuff up. It's amazing. Go ahead, take a picture and show your doubting friends. Taken from the sheep or the goats, Exodus 12, 5. Jesus was chosen from among both the righteous and sinners, Luke 5, Hebrews 7. Lamb was slain on the 14th day, Exodus 12. Jesus was crucified on the Passover on the 14th day. Let's have a praise break for just a second. How is that even possible? Because he's the Lamb of God. Lamb was killed in the evening, Exodus 12, 6. Jesus dies between 3 and 6 p.m. evening. Blood placed on the doorpost in three spots, Exodus 12 and 7. Three crosses stood at Calvary. Christ's blood covers all, John 19. Blood protected both from the destroyer. Jesus' blood conquers sin, death, and the devil. Passover is to be remembered forever, Exodus 12 and 14. Jesus' suffering and victory to be remembered from generation to generation, 1 Corinthians. Come on, you ought to just give them praise. There's all kinds of crazy parallels. Seven Passover promises. In verse 23 of, verse 20 and verse 23, it says, behold, I send an angel before you. Now we're in Exodus. Y'all with me? Exodus 23, verse 20 and 23 says, behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way, to bring you to the place where I prepared for you. This is verse 20. For my angel will go before you, verse 23. That is, very simply, divine guidance. Part of the blessing that comes from serving God, living for God, receiving him as your Passover sacrifice, his atoning blood, by celebrating Jesus, what will happen is he will give you guidance. He will give you divine guidance by the power of the Holy Spirit. He'll lead you, he'll guide you, he'll direct you. And we've had this happen in the Bracken family in miraculous ways. Probably one of the most miraculous ones was I went to go see, I have two daughters from a previous marriage before I got born again. Without going into the whole story, I went to go see them in California. I was not able to see them. It was a heartbreaking moment. I was troubled all night. I interceded all night. We were flying out the next day out of San Francisco. And I prayed all night. I went in back and forth between dreams and weeping and intercession. I had a vision of taking a quart of oil and going into the intersection where they live and dumping the entire thing while I prayed in tongues. I'm not a pint, a quart. It might have been a half a gallon. I'm always one of those, it was those big bottles. We prayed for it, set it apart, sanctified it, drove up into this intersection, rolled down my window. My beautiful wife next to me, we had no children at the time, if I remember correctly. Karen was pregnant. I rolled down the window, stopped in the middle of the intersection, put my hand out, with the top off, I went, blah, 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 blah. I just felt like the Lord told me to do it. And they literally lived around the corner. And I believe, listen, this is what I saw in my dream, that their car would go through it. It would spray up on the door handles. The kids would touch the door handles and they get touched by God. That's where my faith was at. Call me strange. I went ahead and did that, left a giant grease stain. It was in the middle. People like going around, beeping the horns, whatever. I was on a higher law at work. And we dumped that whole thing of oil in that intersection in Penn Valley, California. We went to drive away. And I had the strongest urge to go a different way. And we did. I'm telling you, he will guide you. I began to drive up this hill toward Rough and Ready, California. Some of you know where that is. And I went driving up, and I felt like I got to a stop sign. I should just take a right. Karen's like, where are you going? I said, I don't know. We have time. I'm just driving around. Took a right, went to another stop sign, took a left, came to the end of that road. We stop, and we look, and there's a school right there. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, my God, that's their school. Now, I have no idea where their school is. And I pull in. I pull in, and I go to the front desk like you have to do going to schools. And I went, and I said, hi, I'd like to see my daughters. They said, oh, what's their name? And I gave their name with my last name. And they said, we don't have anybody by that last name in this school. And I'm thinking, man, I know God led me here. And I'm thinking, Jesus, help. And I realize, oh, I bet they have their mother's maiden name. That thought comes to me. It was a bizarre thought. So I said, well, what about this last name? And the lady doesn't even look down. Oh, yes. Oh, my God. And she starts crying. And when she starts crying, I thought, I'll be right back. And I just went off to the bathroom. I went off to the bathroom, and I begin to weep in the bathroom. And I'm trying not to make noise. I'm in the school office, and I'm trying not to fall apart again. You led me actually to their school. And I get a hold of myself, and I come back to the office. I said, well, I'm their father. She says, I know. I said, I'd like to see them. Would that be possible? She says, oh, yes. I said, okay. She says, just go down here and there. Let me make a phone call. She gets on the phone, calls the principal. I drive down. I'm driving in. I hadn't seen my kids. I hadn't seen my daughters in so long. And they were kept from me for various reasons. Good reasons, actually, not knowing the redeemed man. And I will never forget getting out of the car and seeing my two daughters playing on the playground. And I thought, oh my gosh, it's my children. I got out of my car, and the principal's walking towards me. It was outside. He waves at me, and he says like this, it's maybe 200 yards away. So I stop. He calls to them. They come off of the playground, and he stoops down and he says whatever he says. And then he points. And when he pointed at me, my two daughters took off running. They ran as fast as they could and jumped into my arms. We sat there weeping. And I thought, oh my God, supernaturally directs me. God will supernaturally direct you all the days of your life. It's part of a promise of God. So I don't know how to get there. He does. I don't know where to finish. He knows where to finish. He knows where to start. In fact, he is the beginning. He is the end. He knows everything. And if you let him lead you and guide you in the decisions of life, yes, clearly obey God's word. I think the school got sued. Because that was the very last time I was able to have that kind of a meeting with them. But it's a divine guidance that'll come from the Lord. Come on, lift your hand to heaven and say, I'm divinely guided by God. He'll be an enemy to your enemies. Look at verse 22. That's good. But if you obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I'll be an enemy to your enemy. And an adversary to your adversary. What is that? It's a divine protection. It's divine protection. I have had so much divine protection that I have an absolute gift of faith regarding divine protection. I don't ever worry about getting on a plane or doing anything even radical, so long as I have peace and God leads me to do it. There's times where fools go where angels fear to tread. I've got divine protection. And they just go off like an idiot and get in a bunch of trouble. No, you need to be led by God, because what might be good today is not good tomorrow, and you need to be guided by it. You need to be guided. I used to work on a sod farm. Anybody know what a sod farm is? Grass. Not grass like they grow in Wasilla. Seashore Pest Palum, to be exact, is for golf courses. And we were loading a container to send a Kwajalein for a military golf course. And as I'm loading this container with a forklift, I'm the only one working that day. I've got it front loaded, which was a mistake. It was a 20-yard container. And I had too much weight in the front, and I was inexperienced and in my 20s and didn't know. Except I thought I knew everything when I was 20-something. Anybody else? It's hard to know everything. Very hard. So I front load this, which was a mistake, and it's too heavy, but I don't know that. And I have this one piece of sod that keeps falling down. I mean, it's just, no matter what I do, this one roll just keeps falling down. So I pull the forklift out. I've got all these pallets of sod I need to load. And I get inside the container. I'm like, you stinking roll of sod. You're going to obey me in the name of Jesus. I have dominion over the sod. And I took this thing and I throw it up and it rolls back. And I'm like, okay. And so I take it again and I'm like, punching it in place. And what happens is literally I feel something like two hands push me. And I get pushed back. I'm like, oh, that was creepy. What was that? And I go to kind of ignore it. And I take one step and I get pushed back hard. And then I get pushed again, a little bit more gentle. I go back, all right, I'm out. I knew it wasn't a devil. I knew it was the fear of the Lord that came on me. I start backing out. Literally, when I stepped out of the container, the whole thing flipped up on its end. Would have broken my skull in a bunch of places. God divinely protected me. That's just one story. I literally have hundreds of stories of God intervening, saving me in car accidents and crashes and guns not going off, on and on and on. Come on, lift your hands to heaven and say, I'm divinely protected by the Master. Come on, I'm divinely protected by the... Yeah, because of the blood, because it's a promise. It's a Passover promise. God will give you all that you need. Look at verse 25. So that you shall serve the Lord God, and he will bless your bread. Come on, forget keto. Give me a loaf of bread. I had tortillas and stuff last night. You awakened an animal over there at the Seder, but I'm like ready to go get a loaf of Wonder Bread and eat the whole thing. Praise God. Oh, it's right there in Scripture. Bread and water. Come on. Gonna go get myself an Easter bunny and eat the whole thing by myself. Just kidding. It's a picture of divine provision. Dude, I haven't had bread for like a year. Are you kidding me right now? Totally stumbled by that. Anyway, praise the Lord. Mind your own business, Pastor Karen. Verse 25. So you shall serve the Lord and he will bless your bread. It's a picture of provision. A picture of provision. I haven't told this story in a long time, but when we first went into the ministry, let me just tell you the position they offered us. We had our own company. I was a painter. I was working for a very, very prosperous family. What is that Swedish furniture company? Yeah, he started Ethan Allen, small little furniture company. You ever heard of it? So we worked for him. And what a blessing they were. And as we're doing that, I'm crying out for God. I don't want to do this anymore. I want to be full-time visiting people, laying hands on people. Oh, God, I cried out for 3 years to get into full-time ministry, Lord help. And I told doctor, and if anything opens, I'm in. Just count me in. I don't care what, I'll do it. I remember they gave me the first job offer they gave me. I accepted it, but I had a family. I had a debt load. And I remember how that was back in those days. Dr. Morocco would write the salary down on a piece of paper, and then he would have it in his pocket. He would pre-prepare before you sat down. So when it came time for talk about the salary, he would reach in his pocket. He'd pull out a piece of paper, and he would slide it across it. This happened for everybody back in those days. That's how it was. It was like 1950-something. They slid it over. And when I saw the salary, it was an intern. It was like, you know, you just graduated from college, or maybe you're still in college wage. And I looked at him, I said, wow. I said, that's funny. And he's like, he just looks at me stone cold. Now, I had been trained for that moment because my friend Dr. Gannon told me, he's going to slide the paper. When he slides the paper, that's when you negotiate. And I laughed. And I said, that's funny, Pastor. And he's not laughing. I said, Dr. Michael told me about it. I feel like he wasn't doctor back then. Pastor Michael told me about this moment, that right at this moment, it's the time for negotiation. So I told him that. That was a mistake. You don't ever tell him when you're negotiating. You just do it. So I said, so let's talk about this. He said, there's no negotiation. I said, what do you mean? He said, there's no negotiation. That's what it is. I know you probably need more, but that's what we have in the budget. If you're willing to do it, we'd love to have you. If not, I understand. We can hire somebody else. I thought, okay. Can I pray about it? I said, sure, go ahead and pray about it. I remember taking my little piece of paper. I went home. I showed Karen. We laughed. It's like, that's pathetic. We're obviously not doing that. We were obviously not doing that. I mean, that doesn't make any sense at all. I thought it was funny too, but what happened after that was not funny. I have this encounter with God where the Lord, come on, someone say God provides. I had an encounter with God, and in the encounter, the Lord said to me, if you jump, I will catch you. I thought, what does that even mean? You obviously aren't talking about the salary. Is there some other? And I just kept hearing, if you jump, I'll catch you. I told Karen, you're like, whatever, that Lord, like, can I have another word? I kid you not. I meet up with a friend, also happens to be Michael Gannon. He randomly comes to me in his kind of crazy California way, comes up to me and says, hey, man. I'm like, hey. He's like, I got the craziest word for you. I'm like, okay, what do you got? He's like, I know it doesn't make any sense, but. Doesn't make any sense, I know, but like, it's what he told me. And here's what he said. If you jump, he'll catch you. I said, what? He said, I don't know. That's what he told me to tell you. I thought, okay, thanks. I started crying. And I knew that if we would jump, he would catch us. No, I'm talking full debt load. Debts, credit card debts, car payment, all that. It was impossible in the natural. Completely impossible in the natural. Somehow we obeyed, and God miraculously came through for us over and over and over. And I could go on to tell you story after story. I'm telling you, if you obey God, you're led by God, he will provide for you, and you'll have more than enough. You will have more than enough. One of the problems was we couldn't make the car payment, and it was a lease, but it was up towards the end of the lease. I said, God, help me. I have 3 months left, and like, we can't even, like, we're buying beans. Thank God for the food bank. And Dr. Morocco's like, I know, God will raise you up. Just believe God. He's going to get another job. But the Lord's like, you're not getting another job. You asked for it. Now go. And we ended up, somebody, it was a Therner, said, well, do you want to let us rent your truck? Because we were about to lose it. Didn't want to bring reproach. So we let him use the truck, and he made the truck payment for 3 months, and then we turned it in and the lease was over. Which was great, except now we had no car. And literally what happened is week after week after week for 2 whole years, you can't make this up, for 2 whole years, people would be leaving town. We didn't go begging anybody, oh, we need a car. We need it. Would you pray for me? I need a car. I don't think there's anything wrong with asking for prayer, but I don't want to manipulate people. And if he was going to catch me, then catch me then. And I'm not going to broadcast it all over. There was no Facebook back then. Oh, pray for me. I'm going to start a GoFundMe. Some of you just need to touch the hem of his garment. He'll fund you. Quit looking for people to fund you. Look for God to fund you. That's good preaching. Come on, somebody say amen. We're having like a 3-hour service, right? We would literally have people call, as God is my witness. Hey, Daniel, you know, we're going out of town. I don't suppose you would take care of our car for it. Do you need a car? I'm like, yeah. Do you need a second car? Somebody said, yeah, something like that. We drove BMWs. We drove Volkswagen Bugs. I drove the baddest racing, a thing. Does anybody know what a thing is? It had a racing motor in it with slicks. That thing was so bad. And it had this neon gecko along the side, a convertible. And that thing was bad. I mean, this is such a sleeper. Just pull up. Just take off on this visitation and the thing everywhere. I mean, like Suburbans and Tahoes and I mean, like, you name it, we drove it. And literally, people that knew us, they didn't know when the Brackens were showing up because it was always a different car, and we never manipulated or asked anybody. For 2 years that happened. And they renamed us the Any Kind Car Family. And if you're from Hawaii, you understand that that's pretty funny. I regret that I didn't take a picture of every single car. Because it was really, like, amazing. Sometimes we'd have it for a month. Other times we'd have it for a week. God just blessed us over and over and over. Come on, someone say, God will provide for me. God will take sickness away from you. It's divine health. Verse 25. I'll take away sickness from them. These are all promises tied to Passover blessings, tied to Christ. They're all fulfilled in Jesus. All of them. You'll have divine health. Come on, lift a hand to heaven if you need healing right now. In the name of Jesus, be made whole. Be healed. To talk about the miracles of healing. One of my favorite ones is my mother. My mother had renal failure and a kidney. I got that right, Mom? Lost a kidney with her firstborn. After the firstborn, John, my brother John was born, she had surgery. They removed her kidney. As long as I can remember, in every service I was in from the time I got saved, my mother's like, the Lord's given me a new kidney. She'd come to the front and get prayer. By the way, we got Benny Hinn coming. I don't care what you think about his hair or whatever you heard. There's a healing anointing on that man. You come and receive, invite everybody you know to be there. He's controversial. So are you. Just keep coming. Amen. Keep serving God. Trust God. Believe God. It's going to be beautiful. Benny Hinn meetings. I mean, how many meetings? Over and over and over. I've got it. God's the Lord's. And she would come back. The Lord's given me a second kidney. I'm like, okay, Mom. Awesome. Watch out. She goes in to get checked up a few years ago, which is probably 10, because of 10, it feels like a few now. And she has a report that comes back. And the report is, you don't have one kidney, you have two. But they're not on either side. They're one over the top of the other. God gave her a second kidney. She has two kidneys. She had one removed. Where'd the other one come from? God. God gave her a second kidney. God is a miracle working God. And I love how he does it. I love how he did it one over the top, because how does that work? God. Her organs are different. She's made of different stuff. Come on, somebody say amen. It'll take away sickness from you. Miracles are your portion. God will bless your faith with fruitfulness. Look at verse 26 of Exodus 23. No one shall suffer miscarriage. Claim this. Or be barren in the land. Now, I used to say, if you'd like to have a baby, raise your hand, but I don't do that anymore. If you're married and you'd like to have a baby, we'll go for that one, all right? Receive right now supernatural fertility. I mean, you're going to have to, there's no more. No, do not post that. There's. Jesus, help me. I got to get away from you. Praise God. Dr. David, what am I looking for? There's no immaculate conceptions anymore. That only happened once with Jesus. Amen. Okay. All right. Very good. Come on. Somebody say amen. Thank you, Dr. David. You can claim that. You can claim fruitfulness. I'm fruitful all of my life. All of my life, I'll produce fruit. All of my life, I'm going to win the loss. All of my life, everything I touch is going to increase and double. Come on, somebody, start saying it. You're going to increase. Oh, man, how come you're so blessed? I know, it's not my fault. Goodness and mercy follow me everywhere I go. I'm blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in, blessed going out. Oh, I'm blessed. Oh, I'm blessed. You sound so arrogant. Read your Bible. Read it. Preach it, declare it, stand on it, speak it forth. These are promises that are yours because of what Jesus has done. Give you long life. Kind of talked about that already, but it's verse 26. I'll fulfill the number of your days. Come on, someone say, I'm going to fulfill the number of days. I'm going to fulfill my number of days. Keys, please. I'm going to fulfill what? The number of my days. Mom, you're not allowed to go to heaven yet. I need your help. This is are we going to go with the rapture? Good. Good. I need you. I need your ongoing intercession. There's crazy people out there. I'm so grateful for your intercession. You know, I called you today and I was just so grateful I could. 86 years old. I'm going for 120. No hip problems. Can I get an amen? No health condition. Come on, somebody say hallelujah. Listen, if you have a mother and father, you ought to call them right now. Well, after church. And tell them you love them. Call your brother and tell them you love him. Call your sister and tell them you care. Reach to them. You don't know what they did. Well, then give them the glorious gift of forgiveness because Jesus was crucified for whatever they did. He died for that. And we celebrate that tonight. Said they don't deserve any. You might have to keep them at arm's length or maybe further, but you can, healthy boundaries are healthy, but you can forgive them. That's a way of honoring. Go on, bump your neighbor and say, it's Good Friday. Lastly, birthright. God will bring increase and inheritance. Listen to this. Little by little, I will drive them out before you until you have increased and you inherit the land. I will set your bounds from the Red Sea to the Sea of Philistia. And from the desert to the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of this land into your hand. We've been swinging the battle axe and declaring God's word here for almost 19 years. This October to be 19. And we started before I got here. And there's other generations that started long before that. Something has happened in America. There's a archetype of blessing because a new president and new administration. They're not going to bring revival, but they are enabling us to live at greater peace. Every day feels like Christmas to me. Expose every corrupt thing. Expose all the fraud. Expose all the corruption. Let people be held accountable. Let America be one nation under God, indivisible. A government by the people and for the people. Representative form of government. I feel like I'm being represented. I know other people feel like they're not being represented, but welcome to, you know, the republic, the democracy. Vote. does seem to me that I should probably not say that, especially while I'm walking past Pastor Karen. We are going to see the greatest ingathering of souls that we have ever seen. It's on the way. You believe that? Give a big amen. I'm going to increase. Say, I'm going to increase. I'm going to increase. As the psalmist said, me and my children. Say that. Me and my children are going to increase more and more. And you will drive out the enemy. I thank you, Lord. I pray that all of China's holdings of the farms, land, I pray would be returned to the people of the United States of America. We don't want to rob anybody, and we don't want to be robbed. So do however you want to do that. I pray that small farming would come back in. I pray for exposing of, how do I say it so I don't get YouTube banished? I pray exposing of the jab. All the corruption, expose it all. Has anybody seen the autism thing?
Yes.
If I talk too much about it, they take us down, so. Would you just kiss? You know. Be blessed. Lift a hand to heaven. Oh. Won't you talk to God? Go ahead, all across this place. Service is just about concluded. Thank you. Woo. Thank you for your presence, God. For your promises. For your blood. Cursed is he who hung on a tree. The blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. Oh God, power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you. May you be ever mindful of your great and precious promises. I'm going to read through them one more time. Divine guidance. Divine protection. Divine provision. Divine health, divine abundance, or abundance, depending upon what culture you come from. Long life, divine life, and lastly, divine birthright. These are purchased for you and me at the cross, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Passover, the same time they killed the lambs, God's lamb was taken out at the exact same time and killed outside the camp, outside the city, exactly the same. Did you know that every lamb had to have on its neck the name of the family? Did you know that? That's why it's amazing that on the cross, over the head of Jesus, King of the Jews. It's amazing. God's amazing.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.